I was sitting here before the show. I'm drinking my whiskey, and Atticus is sitting in the rocking chair, and he's like, this just feels like morning. And I looked at him, and I'm like, what kind of dad do you think you have? So,
welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. I'm Steve Benson, that's Paul Schultz, and nothing you're about to hear is true. You know the old saying, anything worth doing is worth overdoing?
Oh, that's not the way I heard it, but yes.
How did you hear it?
Anything worth doing is worth doing badly.
Oh, yeah. No. So here's what I'm worried about. Everybody's talking about Wonder Woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about Wonder Woman. Everybody online is talking about Wonder Woman. Every single person in the United States, and this is a first for superhero movies. Actually, it's a first for movies in general, not just superhero movies. But I don't know if you heard this, but every single person in the United States has now seen Wonder Woman at least once.
At least once.
Which is weird because I don't know. How do people afford tickets to go? There are some people. Anyway, truth. It's the truth. And what I'm worried about is everybody's talking about it. And I almost posted a couple of things today about it. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, am I overdoing it? Am I overstating it? I mean, that thing you sent me with the black dude reviewing Wonder Woman.
The most honest Wonder Woman reviewer ever.
Yes. I thought, now... this guy, if anybody's overstating it, he is. But he's not. You know?
Mm-hmm.
For those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, because you're not an American, see, this is how every American has seen the movie.
Yes.
There's a new superhero movie out. It's called Wonder Woman Rise of the Warrior, I believe, or Dawn of the Warrior, or Birth of a Warrior.
I just call it Wonder Woman. I'm not waiting around for Justice League or anything. I'm just...
Her mama called her Wonder Woman. Her daddy called her Wonder Woman. I'm going to call her Wonder Woman. Every time we talk about boxing, some white dude got to bring up Rocky Marciano. Okay, so here's the thing about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to overstate it because, I mean, it is one of those things, right, where mm-hmm. everybody's talking about it. Everybody's like, oh, my God, it's so great. And we don't need another. That guy did it so perfectly, yeah. The black dude, that we don't need another just like love fest, right?
Right.
So I'll just start out by saying it was way better than I expected. I mean, I expected it to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And I took my daughters because of last week's show, actually.
Mm-hmm.
This is embarrassing to say, but I didn't really realize a Wonder Woman movie was coming out. And then I realized that I must have fallen asleep 3/4 of the way through Batman versus Superman when you started telling me how Wonder Woman showed up in that movie. And I was like, she did? It's like,
that?
Yeah, she was the only good thing in that movie. It was like,
dude, that movie was brutal to watch. It was so bad that yes, she was the only thing worth watching in that movie.
Somebody actually posted online today, like something to the effect of, this is the only good DC movie to come out in forever.
Yeah.
And somebody else goes, well, Batman versus Superman, you know, that was okay. And then, so I replied with, yeah. And who showed up toward the end to save the movie?
The defense rests.
And and the person actually replied like, well, yeah, good point.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even try to argue. They were just like, oh, yeah, good point. excuse me. I have a little frog in my throat. And somewhere in the woods, there's a frog with a giant man in its throat.
He's like, excuse me, I have a man in my throat. You know, he's talking all articulate, you know.
He's going, excuse me, I have a giant man in my throat. That's what he said. All right. I'm going to get a cough drop because this is going to bug me the entire show if I don't clear this out. All right. So I went in with my daughter was asking me before we went. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to prepare her, not the younger one, because, you know, she already gets superheroes.
Yeah.
But my older one, like, really didn't want to go see it. And I was like, well, you know, you love the movies anyway. And she's like, oh, yeah, the food and sitting in those reclining chairs. Because every damn theater here now has the reclining chairs. And she's like, and I said, you liked Star Wars, didn't you? And she goes, I'm talking about Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. And then also we took them to see Rogue One. Mm-hmm. And she says, well, I really didn't understand what was going on. So I kind of fell asleep. I said, okay, that would be my fault. I had no idea. I mean, I knew what was going on simply because I saw A New Hope and all those other ones. Mm-hmm. So that was my fault. I said, with Wonder Woman, I'll fill you in on the backstory. So I ran to Wikipedia. I read Wonder Woman's origin story, and I told it to her, which for the uninitiated, which I don't think we have any uninitiated people that listen to the show.
Not by now, we don't.
But in case we've picked up a new listener in our recent marketing efforts, you know, it was, you know, Amazon princess and, you know, the power. And it's like, you know what Amazons are, right? She's like, oh, yeah, those women who are like warriors. Said, yes, exactly. She's like, they're basically Spartans, but in South America, and they're women. Exactly. You got it. So, because they've been studying ancient Greece and that's Persia awesome. And Spartans and all that stuff. So, yeah, you got it. Spartans, but with nicer figures. So, although that Leonidas in 300 struck a pretty sharp figure. And, you know, I said, and then, you know, some guy comes because the world's going to hell in a handbasket. So some guy comes down there and convinces her to come help save humanity. He's like, okay, I get it. I said, so basically I'm figuring it's going to be your run-of-the-mill standard hero movie where she doesn't really want to go. And, but this guy, like, he's like, you're our only hope. And then he'll convince her to go. She'll go. There'll be some arch villain. She'll fail, like get defeated somehow by the arch villain. She'll want to go back home. The guy will convince her, no, you really were. And then she'll learn something along the way and eventually win. I was like, that's pretty. She goes, sounds pretty predictable. Are you sure we want to go? I said, yeah, it'll be good. I'm sure the special effects will be great. So, okay, so let's go. I said, plus, I want you girls to see that women can be heroes too.
Right.
Right. Okay. Let's go see the movie. So here's, I don't know if you have any comments so far.
No, keep going. I'm enjoying this.
So the movie actually took me on a journey and I didn't realize this until after the movie, like an hour or two after the movie, I realized that the journey that the movie took me on mirrored Diana Prince's journey.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Diana Prince being
Wonder Woman. Yeah.
And when it struck me, I told Constance and she looked at me like I had three heads and was like, yeah, whatever. It's like, but don't you see? She's like, yeah, yeah, I see. So I said, I'll save it for the show. So the movie, okay, this is the part that could be considered. There are some spoilers coming up. Not really, but kind of. And it's your own fault if you haven't seen the movie.
Yeah, our listeners have been duly warned there will be spoilers.
You've been warned. So they're on this isolated island, and somehow a German battleship shows up. And this plane being flown by, it was confusing at first, but it's a German spy, or a British, American spy working for the British in a German plane, crashes. Wonder Woman saves him, and she's like, who are you? He's like, I'm the good guy. Who are they? They're the bad guys. And so I thought, oh, okay. Paul told me that Wonder Woman showed up in World War II. So those are Nazis, right? Mm-hmm. And then I saw the marking on the plane and the marking on the uniforms. And I was like, this isn't making sense. Mm-hmm. And then I saw the guns they were shooting, and I was like, that's not World War II stuff. Those are World War I Germans. And then I got a little bit pissed. I was like, now hold on a second. Yes, in World War II, it's fair to call the Germans the bad guys because, I mean, not on an individual basis. A lot of those guys were just like conscripts who, you know, fight or die, right? You're fighting, you think maybe for your country, but yeah. You're really fighting for this Nazi guy.
They were the soldiers in the purest sense of the word. They were fighting for country. They weren't fighting for, you know, conquest. That was the Nazis.
Right. You're saying, yeah. So in World War I, and I'm sitting there going, okay, I get that the general public doesn't really grasp this. I didn't before I studied it in the last year. But the Germans weren't the bad guys. Neither were the French or the British. Nobody was the bad guys. There were no bad guys. And everybody was the bad guys. And I was getting a little bit pissed, right? Then, dude, like, finally convinces, well, he convinces her, we got to go. Then she convinces her mom. That's when I started thinking, isn't this just Moana, like the live action version of Moana? I keep looking out at the water, thinking. Well, anyway, and then he starts talking about how he starts talking about Ludendorff, who is the head, the supreme commander of the German army at the end of the Central Powers at the end of World War I. And he starts talking about him, and Wonder Woman's like, "Oh, well, clearly he's the god of war, right? Because." Mm-hmm. He's the head bad guy. And then I got pissed again because I was like, well, hold on. They were making Ludendorff seem like Hitler, right? I thought Ludendorff was not Hitler. He wasn't trying to kill a bunch of Jews. He wasn't wanting to take over the world so he could cleanse it of these bad influences, right? He was the head of the German army, and he wanted to win the war.
Right.
And at the time, however, there are historians who believe he prolonged the war unnecessarily, and a lot of lives were lost unnecessarily because, you know, he wanted to keep fighting when it was clear they had lost, which in the movie, he's kind of doing, right?
Yeah.
And then we find out, gigantic spoiler alert, we find out he's not.
Yeah.
The god of war. And guess who else was trying to prolong the war? the British, right? The head of the Allies. That other dude, Sir Whoever,
the guy from Harry Potter.
The guy from Harry Potter, right? So, well,
he was also in the Big Lebowski, by the way. I found out the other day.
Oh, which one was he?
He was the one. He was like the photographer that was working with Julianne Moore. He was one. He'd be reading the magazine and laughing and talking in German on the phone to her and stuff. He's just a silly little bit part guy. But yeah, that was him as well.
And I thought it was beautifully done the way that it was so well done that they took me on the journey that Diana Prince went on, which is, oh, they're not. Yes, she thought they were the bad guys, and I did too, and I was pissed about it. And she thought the head of the German army was the, you know, the Antichrist, God of War, whatever, and he wasn't. And then you find out the British guy is the God of War, spoiler alert. and then, you know, she kills him, and then everybody's happy the war's over. And all the soldiers are basically like, hey, cool, the war's over. This is great. Which is exactly how World War One could be described.
Mm-hmm.
And she finds out there's no good guys, there's no bad guys, there's just...
That's...
people.
Yep. Nothing is black and white. Mm-hmm. Nothing is as simple... You know, nothing is as simple as it seems. That was one of the best parts about it. Because when I was going to be like really mad if, yeah, turns out he was Ares and she killed him and it started some kind of chain reaction that led to the end of the war. But when she killed him and she's just like, okay, it's a stop now. Why isn't it stopping?
Yeah. Well, right.
You know, it was so... perfect, you know. Now my buddy that I was with when I saw it, he's like, I knew he was the bad guy because he was the bad guy in the Harry Potter movie. <Just like, laughs> Oh shit, I didn't know that because I don't watch Harry Potter, so
it was, yeah, kind of,
it's like, oops.
Okay, turning to the female aspect, and this is the part, so I'm so glad I understood World War One, or nobody understands World War One, but I'm so glad that I studied World War One so that I had an understanding, right? Because before, yeah, a year or two ago,
right?
I know I was ignorant. I just figured Germany was always evil, right? Because that's basically how the history books were written that we studied in school.
Yes.
Like, okay.
Yeah, you and I are on the same page with that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. I'm glad you found that documentary. I'm glad Paul Wohlstorff turned me on to hardcore history. Moving on to this next part, maybe where you already knew this, and I went back and listened to last week's show where you gave us kind of a preview and a background on Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think people who have been following Wonder Woman get this. And since I didn't get it yet, again, it took me on this journey, right? So there were moments when I thought the dude, what's his name?
Jeff Lebowski.
What? No. The guy that, the main male character.
Oh, Steve Trevor. Steve Trevor.
Steve who? Yeah, Trevor.
Yeah.
Steve Trevor. Oh, he had my first name. Yeah. Steve Trevor, like, it to me, it sounded like, you know, he had the prudent, like, he had a plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, here's the plan. We just follow this plan. You know, we got to follow the plan. And then they're going through and, like, she sees the French woman who says, they took over our village and they're just killing everybody in the village and it, mm-hmm, sucks in the village, right? And Wonder Woman says, well, we've got to go help that village. And Steve Trevor's like, we can't. I mean, I get you want to help everybody, but we can't help everybody. We got to focus on the mission. That's how we'll help the most people, is by, mm-hmm, ending this war. Ignore these little things. In other words, put your emotions aside. Shove them down. We're on a mission, right? Typical man stuff. I was sitting there thinking... Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
And she says, no, it's that way. I'm going that way because I'm going to help those people. She starts climbing out of the trench, and I'm thinking, well, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. She's going to get all these people killed.
Yeah.
And she goes up there, and it's the best scene in the whole movie.
Yeah. The audience lost its mind when that happened. I was just like, I was hooping and stuff. You know, I was going nuts.
The way they portrayed the battlefield, the way they portrayed the,
mm-hmm,
machine gunners, the
yep,
mortars. I don't think they could have portrayed it like exactly accurate, because in reality there would have been so much artillery fire that, yeah, it would just not make any sense, right? But For the movie.
Yes.
Like with the trees, the way they were in the mud. And it was just and then that whole pose with the shield and how it was pushing her back with the machine gun.
I love the scene just before she goes up because he's arguing with him. And there's the sign behind it that says, "Don't just stand there," you know.
Oh, I didn't see that.
That was just awesome.
And then I thought, you know what? That is exactly, I think, the message of why we need female superheroes. It's not just to inspire our girls to be more like men. It's not to teach my daughters, hey, you know, you could be like a man too, you know? No, it's the world needs the feminine viewpoint.
Yes.
Because sometimes you do need to say, I know that's the plan, but these people are suffering and I'm going to help them.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what your plan's going to do? Your plan is no more certain than my intuition.
Mm-hmm.
But I know there is a person in front of me right now who's suffering, and I'm going to help that person. And that happened more than once in the movie.
Yeah.
The whole idea of going to the front.
Yeah.
No, we just need to get this book to them. And then once they have the book, everything will be okay. And no, I have to go to the front. The front is where the action is. It's where people are suffering. I need to go there. And, the other thing is, one of the things that somebody pointed out on my Facebook was that the buildup was long. And I can only assume that what they meant was the long focus on the backstory with the island and the training and all that.
See, that could have been so much longer had they... 'cause they took some liberties with this movie against like what's known in comics. And like when I go to see a superhero movie or watch one of the TV shows, I can separate what I know from what I'm about to see. And as long as what I know, like as long as the feel of it shows up on the screen, I'm happy with, I don't care what they do with it. Her origin story, I was worried that this movie was going to be like 6 hours long, because her origin story is very complex. It's very, just getting off of the island in the traditional sense of the storyline took this huge contest to pick the best warrior. So I was worried they were going to go down that road, because it's like, all right, we saw it. Everybody, you know, we saw it when we were kids on the TV show. We've read it numerous different kinds of incarnations of the comics. I was so glad that they actually cut that part out or didn't use that part, because, you know, it's been done to death and it would have made that movie so much longer than it needed to be. This way, they show Diana's impulsiveness to just feel like she has to do what she feels she has to do. And it causes complications all along the way, to where in the end, she's figured everything out. You know, it took to the very end when she stabs the dude and turns out he's not Ares, for her to suddenly realize that, like, her like limited view of how things are supposed to be isn't how it's supposed to be. And that's the theme of the whole damn movie. That's what I picked up from it. If you have a limited view on things, you're not looking at the whole picture. And she wasn't. Now, she didn't know any better because she was naive, but she learned quick that you have to look at the big picture. So it could have been so much longer.
I agree with you. And that was definitely a primary, like a main theme.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not black and white. There's not good guys versus bad guys. There's, you know, do what you can now in the moment. And maybe it's because I'm the father of daughters like you are. Mm-hmm. that I was also seeing men want to look at every situation like a problem that can be fixed.
Yes, it's in our nature. It's like
it's
beyond nature, dude. I think it's in our DNA, honestly.
That's nature. And male, I think, you know, the superhero movies I've seen, there's a male superhero, and there's usually male supervillain. And the problem is the supervillain's running amok, and the male supervillain has to defeat him, right?
Mm-hmm.
If a female's introduced as, say, a supervillain, it's usually to distract the male sexually, right? It's a hot supervillain, like the old Batman TV show, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Catwoman would come along and, like, try to seduce Batman
with
the dancing. And but that was the extent. And then any female superheroes was just like the sidekick, right?
Right.
And that, you know, that was Wonder Woman for the first, you know, she was like, I know who the supervillain is. I know who the bad guy is. I know what I need to go do. But she still did, even so, even though she was following the template, she was still doing it in a feminine way, which is, no, I care about these people. And I need to help these people.
Mm-hmm.
And your plan to fix it, you know, and forget about caring about people. You have a problem. You try to build a shed, you know, forget about the flowers that you're trampling on. You're building a shed. You know?
Yeah.
The woman would go, I get that you need a place to store your tools, but we're not destroying these flowers in the process. Right.
Right.
And then, like you said, when she stabs Ludendorff and realizes, oh crap, he's not, you know, it's not that easy. Then that's when that theme comes forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, all of this that we're saying is I think why it's getting the 90-some% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Because the hardcore movie, you know, the movie critics who close their eyes when they say things about movies, they're seeing all this, right? They're seeing the undertones and the larger themes, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a testosterone or estrogen-filled romp, right? Even if none of that were true, the special effects, the tension, the excitement with the World War I backdrop, the explosions, the superhuman feats would have made the movie still very entertaining.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
It may not have been a very well done concept movie.
The audience, but it would have been
super entertaining.
Yeah. It would have been high octane entertainment, but it also happened to have one of the best superhero plots ever.
Yeah.
I mean, we should probably take a break, though.
Yeah. Whew. And then I'll tell you when we come back, I'll tell you how I know that my daughters liked it. And it's different for each one.
I'm curious how that works out.
Yeah.
16 years old when I went to the war to fight for a land fit for heroes. God on my side and a gun in my hand, chasing my days down to zero. And I marched and I fought and I bled and I died, and I never did get any older. But I knew at the time that a year in the line was a long enough life for a soldier. ready for history's pages. And we brawled, and we fought, and we hoard till we stood 10,000 shoulder to shoulder. A thirst for the Hun, we were food for the gun, and that's what you are.
Got back from the movie, and for the rest of the evening, my youngest, the 9-year-old,
mm-hmm.
did nothing but play superhero. She was setting up like obstacles. She's jumping around. She's like doing this, like crossing her arms, mm-hmm. you know, like this. And she's doing like the deflecting bullets thing and crossing her arms. And I knew she wasn't just doing it for my sake.
Yeah.
A, because she never does anything just for my sake.
Our daughters seldom do.
That's right. And B, she was doing it in rooms where there was nobody else. Mm-hmm. So I'd walk into a room and she'd be jumping around like going pew pew.
Now is she still doing that now? Is she still kind of like getting into it?
I thought about that earlier tonight, and she's not right now. However, she went on a sleepover with a friend who hasn't seen the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of interrupted it because they didn't have this common, like, hey, let's play superhero together. So she had a couple of days there where kind of interrupted it, but I'm going to watch her because I'll bet she'll get back to it.
Okay. Well, here's what you got to do. Hold on just a second. Hold on. Tomorrow, when you're coming home from work, find your local, your nearest comic book shop. Go in there and look for these.
Ah.
They're giving them away, dude. Just go in and buy like a, you know, like a Wonder Woman comic. Because they're good. They are. Go and buy a Wonder Woman comic. Pick up a couple of these. And you would probably kick that stuff right back into high gear again.
And bracelets.
Now, the audience didn't see that it was bracelets and a tiara, which your local comic shop, it probably still has some left over from the movie premiere.
All right.
Yeah.
Here's what we're going to do.
All right.
You're going to hold those up again.
Okay.
And I'm going to take a picture.
I almost took a picture of them and posted them earlier. I was so happy when I went into my local shop the other day, and he still had some.
Got it. I'll put that on our group. So her running around playing superhero is not something that has really happened when we've gotten back from a movie like Star Wars, any of the Star Wars movies or Secret Life of Pets or Sing, or which those are all fine movies.
Mm-hmm.
Just they don't they want to see them again. Like they want to pull it up on Netflix or whatever and watch it again, but they don't form games out of them. Right.
Yeah.
Now my 12-year-old, on the other hand, she's not so much a run around play anymore because she's 12 going on 18.
Yes. It only gets better.
Yeah, I'm sure. But I was asking today when I was fixing dinner, I said, hey, because they both went on sleepovers. I said, hey, did your friend that you went on your sleepover with, has she seen Wonder Woman yet? And my 12-year-old goes, no, she hasn't. But I told her she absolutely has to go see it. And my next statement will be, next thing you need to tell her is you give her exactly 1 week. And then you're going to start telling spoilers.
Yeah, 1 week is it. If you can't make it out to the movies in the first week, man, it's not our fault anymore.
Well, it's like The Crying Game. I mean, Forrest Whitaker's girlfriend has a dick, okay? I mean, it's like our listeners are going, why is it weird that Forrest Whitaker's girlfriend has a kid? But if you haven't seen The Crying Game yet, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis was a ghost in The Sixth Sense. All right, there. I spoiled it for you. But you've had 22 years to see that damn movie.
Mm-hmm.
That covers all my notes.
I'll give my input on Wonder Woman. But right. First, I want to point out to our listeners that your youngest is the superhero. She's the one that, for the longest time, would dress up as Spider-Man for Halloween. True. So, true. The seeds are there, man.
Yes. She loved... Okay, there's a few things. One, yes, she dressed up as Spider-Man and would always tell people her favorite superhero was Spider-Man. She has read several pages of Spider-Girl. She seems to be having trouble, like, it's not sticking yet. Mm-hmm. However, she reads Baby Mouse. Are you familiar with Baby Mouse?
Yeah, I'm familiar. Yeah, actually, she made me familiar with Baby Mouse.
So. Okay. She loves Baby Mouse, and Baby Mouse is basically a comic. Mm-hmm. It's a graphic novel for children. And when I was tucking her in the night we went to see the movie, it was like, hey, and I found her Spider-Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Graphic novel that you had given her, and I was like, hey, you could read Spider-Girl, and she goes, oh wait, there's a Baby Mouse where Baby Mouse is a superhero, so she found that and wanted to read that instead. And I was like, okay, well, that's probably a little more her speed right now, you know. She'll probably get back to Spider-Girl.
She's 9, right?
Yeah,
she's, yeah, give her time.
Yeah,
you know.
So
I mean, I was reading comics when I was 4, but that's beside the point. But yeah, give her time.
You didn't have the internet and Minecraft and YouTube. And I mean, if I'd had the internet, I probably would have hit puberty at about 4. That having been said, hey, Paul.
What's up?
What did you think of Wonder Woman?
Okay. Where to start? Anybody who knows me knows how much I loathe the DC superhero movies. They are not superhero movies. They try their hardest to not be superhero movies. They use the characters, but they try to take them somewhere else away from the source material. They try to create this highbrow science fiction world. And for me, it never works. And for a lot of my friends, it does not work. It's, we want, like a lot of the TV shows will do this. They're like, well, we want to put the superheroes on the TV, but we don't want them to be superheroes. Well, why are you doing it? So movies like Batman versus Superman, Man of Steel, the Dark Knight trilogy, which, along with The Godfather and Scarface, if you tell people you don't like them, they try to take away your man card, apparently. I didn't care for any of it. I have not, honest to God, I have not liked a DC superhero movie since the second Superman movie when we were kids. Because they detract.
Is that the one with Richard Pryor?
No, that was the third one.
Oh.
They detract too much away from the original idea. Now, Superman the Motion Picture, in spite of what I've just said, Superman the Motion Picture is my absolute favorite superhero movie of all time. I love my Marvel movies to pieces. They're fantastic. But the reason why Superman is my favorite is because there I was, 10 years old, sitting in a theater, watching this larger-than-life character come to life. So it roped me in. And whenever I watch it, which is once or twice a year now, I watch it like I'm 10 years old, but with a 48, 49-year-old man's intellect.
I'm glad you said it that way.
Okay.
Like I'm a 10-year-old with a 48-year-old man in me.
Yeah. Well, we're trying to fix the show a little bit.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
No. Wonder Woman comes along, and I will freely admit, I was not impressed when I heard they were making one, because I just have been so disappointed with them. They've just been so disappointing. They're just not good movies to me. I don't get any kind of enjoyment out of them. And, you know, being our age, we grew up watching Linda Carter as Wonder Woman. So it's kind of hard to, like, top that mold of, you know, this woman as Wonder Woman. I wasn't thrilled with their choice for Wonder Woman. I wasn't thrilled with any of it. Nothing I was seeing was making me go, oh, this is going to be great. So when I went to see it, I went to see it with that part of me that, like, I knew it was going to suck, but I was hoping deep down inside it would not. And I kid you not, through the whole movie, my buddy kept looking at me, and I'm like wiping the little mist out of the corner of my eyes, blaming it on allergies, because I was just like, this is me again, 10 years old, sitting in the audience, watching this character just explode and be a complex and just perfect. Like, just absolutely, this is what I was hoping for. So it was just such everything we've talked about, the whole idea about how, you know, her hero's journey, everything was just, it was perfect. There were, I have Rotten Tomatoes, like the guy said, Rotten Tomatoes gave it 97, I gave it 150. No, I'll give it the 97 because there was like a little bit of problem I had with a little bit of the special effects, but that's, I don't care about that. I grew up watching the Spider-Man TV show where the special effects were terrible. The Hulk special effects, terrible. I don't care about special effects. I want to be roped in, no pun intended, roped in and made to believe this is real. This is really happening. And I'm 10 years old again watching this spectacle just explode across the screen. And that's what I got walking out of Wonder Woman. I just, me and my buddy on the way home, we're just sitting there going, we're like, we got nothing. Everything about that, that movie hit every superhero mark. And one of the problems that DC fans have with Marvel movies is Marvel movies aren't dark enough. Meaning, they're not real enough. Okay? they're not tragic enough. Clearly, they didn't watch the same movies I watched. But when it comes to Wonder Woman, what is more dark, real, and tragic than saving a village only to have your actions for saving the village have that village destroyed? I was just like, I was right there with her. I was just like, oh my God. It was just, it was so, you know, it pulls. I've said this before, like Steven Spielberg, okay, he has this innate ability to put you right where he wants you emotionally through his movies. He wants you to be happy, you're happy. He wants you to be sad, you're sad. He wants to scare the crap out of you, he's going to scare the crap out of you. This movie it had me on that, like the, you know, like a bug stuck on a pin, not realizing that I'm stuck on a pin. It had me right where it wanted me through the whole movie. And I was just, I was just flabbergasted by how good it was. I was not expecting anything. And I was just, like I said, I was just the 10-year-old boy sitting in the theater. I would have loved to have been a 10-year-old boy sitting in the theater watching Wonder Woman, but for a whole different reason. But it just, it spoke to me on that same level that seeing Superman the motion picture did, you know, 40 years ago.
You mentioned Steven Spielberg.
Mm-hmm.
The director of Wonder Woman is Patty Jenkins.
Right? Who directed Monster, by the way.
So did you know that?
Yeah.
Before?
Yeah.
I knew that because I just looked it up.
No, when I'd heard, there's two things. When I had heard that Zack Snyder was only producing this movie, because I hate everything he's done except Watchmen. When I'd heard he was only producing this movie and that they had the director who had directed Monster, which Monster was one of those movies that just left me speechless because... Mm-hmm. I mean, not only was it just a mortifyingly bad life to watch spill out in front of you, but Monster turned Charlize Theron, who, as far as I'm concerned, is like perfect. She does things to my brain I shouldn't talk about. That movie turned Charlize Theron and made her look like John Voight, which messed me up. To make this movie, and then to flip it and go, and now I'm going to make this, the superhero epic journey, was just, it was amazing to witness.
She did a good job.
Yeah,
she did a good job with it, I would say. Interesting question: who's the better African American actress, Halle Berry or Charlize Theron?
I'm going with Charlize Theron. I don't think Halle Berry can actually act. Because
you're racist?
No, she can't act.
Okay, Vivica A. Fox or Charlize Theron?
Charlize Theron.
Jesus, you're so racist. All right.
I wonder how many of our fans actually know where you were going with that. Because I knew that.
I didn't know it until I think it was Leslie White posted it. He's like, I just thought about this. He's like, Charlize Theron is an African-American actress.
I'm a little bit of a fan.
All right. Well, you know, before we knew it, this turned into the Wonder Woman episode.
Mm-hmm.
And you just provided one of the best overviews of why it was so good that I've ever heard. One of the best.
As I posted on Facebook earlier today, I'm like, I've been keeping quiet about this for a while. It's been killing me. I've wanted to just go off and post all kinds of crazy stuff all over the place. Like, no, I'm going to hold on to this. I'm going to wait, and I'm going to put it on. I'm going to save it for the show, as we say.
So, question.
Hmm.
Most powerful woman in your life, go.
Works for me. Do you want to give yours while we wait? Or you want to...
Wonder Woman. I would say at this point in my life, I believe the most powerful woman in my life right now. Do 12-year-old girls count? Because my 12-year-old daughter is probably the person who's having the most influence, who is of female persuasion at this moment in my life. I'm learning so much from her, and she challenges me every day because I want to be the dad. I don't want to be that dad who's like, oh, I'm going to be your best friend, right? Because I'm not your best friend. That's not my role. That's Olivia's role and Ava's role.
Yeah.
And she has like 4 best friends. But anyway.
You can be their best friend when they're parents. You can, there's plenty of time to be their best friend.
Oh, I'll be your best and most embarrassing friend.
Mm-hmm.
However, that's not my role. So I'm not that kind of dad. But, I mean, there are plenty of times when I'm trying to be the dad when she points out stuff. I just have to stop and go, all right. So when I was a kid, I'm doing air quotes.
Yes.
If I had pointed something out to my dad, he would have pointed out the emergency room. there's emergency room. You're going to need it.
Yeah. My dad would have pointed out the wood pile and told me to go chop some wood.
But I'm not that kind of person, and I'm not that kind of dad. I kind of go, there are times when I'll go, you may have a good point, but right now I'm not listening to good points. So
yeah.
I'm listening to you say, okay, I'll go do that thing you just told me to go do. Right. There are plenty of times like that, but there are other times where it's like, oh, I hadn't thought about it like that. And so, like, she's really putting me through a lot of, I hadn't thought of that.
Well, has she ever, I'm sure she has, because how old did you say she is, 12?
Mm-hmm.
All right. She's going to say things, because my oldest is 15. She is going to say things that is going to make you go, wow, she's listening. You know? That her insights are going to be so, like, ridiculously astute that you're going to be like, you're not going to know what to say. All you're going to be able to do is go, she's listening, you know? As mime points out, she's like, she'll be at the lunch table at the school, right? She'll go, when I open my mouth, something you say comes out, you know? It's like, it just means they're listening. It's going to happen. And then she's going to say things that are going to make you go, I don't know how I made it this long in life without knowing that. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
What the things they do will just, it only gets better.
Who's the most powerful woman in your life? Go.
Real strength is measured in being overwhelmed, but stepping up and doing it anyway. Like we talked about last week about your daughter doing the national anthem.
Courage. Yeah.
Yes. My answer is similar to yours because my 15-year-old is the most powerful woman in my life right now. By being scared to death, but doing it anyway, that to me is just like, it's like you said, it's like if there are kids, if, you know, they're us if we were raised by us.
Yeah. And if we were women.
Yes. To all the things that intimidated me when I was a kid, to see her go through it, but as a girl and rise to the occasion, to me, it's amazing to witness.
Yeah. There have been plenty of times where I've gone to my daughter to try to address a situation from the perspective of how I would have perceived it or how I would have reacted to it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just put me in my place. Like,
yeah.
No, that's no.
What?
No, that didn't embarrass me, or no, yeah. I wasn't afraid of that, or no, whatever. Like, there's a whole other reason that I'm upset about it.
Yeah.
Like, your reason's better than mine would have been.
Well, she has the benefit of having you guys as parents.
Well, we've gotten a few answers to our question on Facebook.
Okay.
Most powerful woman in your life, go. My friend Delaram says, my great-grandma. By the way, Delaram, today, you know, there was a terrorist attack in Iran. They attacked mm-hmm. the parliament and the mausoleum of Ayatollah, what's his name, Khomeini, which mm-hmm. if you grew up in the U.S., we were taught, and I don't want to be controversial here, maybe it's true that, well, certainly they took the U.S. Embassy staff hostage for mm-hmm. 400 yeah. and some days, so that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been taught, and in the U.S., we just see that regime as evil, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But not as we just talked about on the theme with Wonder Woman. There's not good guys and bad guys, right? There's just people.
That's all I'm saying. Nothing is black and white.
Doing what people do, right? Well, Delaram is mm-hmm. Persian. Her dad still travels back and forth to Iran. So she posted like a, you know, my heart goes out to Tehran, and like, you know, like everybody does when there's a terrorist attack, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was this close to, I went out to the Facebook where you can put a frame on your profile picture. You know, whenever France mm-hmm. gets attacked or whatever, you get the, I almost did the Iranian flag, right?
Because
mm-hmm. I thought, why not? I mean, these are people, like innocent people died, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't do it. Because I didn't want to put up with the bullshit, right? I
was which is exactly what you would be smothered in bullshit.
Just, I've done such a great job of getting all the bullshit off of my wall. Like, yeah. I've already gotten some bullshit for posting. There were like 130 imams in England who said they're not going to pray for the terrorists who did the attacks in London. Mm-hmm. And I posted, hey, we're always going, why aren't the Muslims like speaking out against terrorism? I'm like, well, here, there you go. They are, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I've gotten bullshit, you know, as a result of that. And I'm like, well, anyway. Leslie White says, currently or historically? Because those are two very different answers. You know what, Leslie? I know you listen, and I love you to death, but you could have just answered both, or you could have picked one. Yeah. You could have said,
exactly.
You could have said, historically, Harriet Tubman or Rosa Parks. Am I being racist? I think I kind of am. And then you could have said, and currently, Melania Trump, right?
God knows she's got a lot of courage.
Just trying to balance it out. All right. Yeah, anyway,
I know what you're doing.
Just pick one. Kelly East says, me. Great. God. I'll come back to that one. My niece, Nicole, says, my mother, Julie Pergowski Vinson. I'm 34, and she still bosses me, and I listen most of the time because she scares me a little. LOL. You know what's great about that is you and I went to high school with Julie. Nicole's, you know what's interesting? Julie's her stepmom. And I didn't think about that until just now. Because if you think about it, we went to high school with Julie. She was a year behind me. And Nicole is 34. So if you do the math, you know, I'm like,
yeah.
Well, she must be a powerful woman because, but I knew Nicole. I mean, I knew Julie in high school, and you would never have guessed that she would be a powerful woman. Probably because you know, I would have been biased. But that's really interesting. Oh, here's another one. Tara Basinger.
Me.
Jill Greer. I'm with Kara and Tara. Oh, good God. Mike and Davina, my wife. Oh, that's good.
That's a good dude, yeah. His wife is awesome. I'm just going to throw that out there. I told her, I messaged her. I'm like, now when you and Mike go see Wonder Woman, because Mike makes me look sick when it comes to Wonder Woman. And I told her, I said, when you and Mike go see Wonder Woman, make sure you have a pack of those, like, travel-sized tissue packs in your purse, because he's going to cry like a baby through this whole movie. Sean is great.
Okay. Dougie Livingston says, can't narrow that to one. I'm like, come on, guys. You know how this game is played.
Everybody can. It's like the don't think, just speak.
Yeah, so I said pick one at random. He says, okay, I'll pick one that chimed in. Kelly East. Oh, great. She gave me the ability to love others, to feed my soul. She gave me the opportunity to understand that I can love and accept without needing that back. You know what?
He didn't pick that one at random.
Here's exactly. Thank you. So here's how the Facebook, this is why the Facebook question of the week works. So I shouldn't allow it to frustrate me. It's like the reason we get so many responses is because it's an opportunity for people to be in the spotlight for a minute.
Mm. Yes.
Right.
And we love their spotlight because it sheds light on who they are. It gives us something to talk about. It's just the best.
So I should embrace it instead of ridiculing it. All right, before we go totally off the rails. Hey, we have a new Facebook group. Hit us up and we'll invite you to it. You don't need to be invited. You just look at our walls and find it.
Yeah.
Or you could go to don'tpanicradioshow.com and get all the news and info. You can also tell a friend. You could share it.
Yeah, that helps.
We love you for that. We love you long time.
I'm not going to stop until every one of my Facebook friends is a member of the Don't Panic group.
All 300.
That's right.
Sparta! For Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson. Nothing, nothing, you nothing, just heard, you just heard, just heard, was just true, heard,
true, 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 true.
I'm a long time woman, and I'm serving my time. I've been locked away so long now, I've forgotten my crime. Been working on the road now, I've been a working by the sea, been a working in them cane fields, and I wanna be free. Well, 99 years is a long, long, long time. 99 years is such a long, long, long time. 99 years is a long, long time. Well, look at me, I'll never be free. I'm a long time woman, ain't nobody to please. I've got a natural feelings like a bad disease. Never be free. I'm a long time woman. Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
What a time.